Well, our journey with the Main Street Magazine is going to be a very interesting one this morning. I'm going to deal with two of the stories that I've read in detail, and they're kind of tied together, but they're not. We'll get to it in just a moment. We welcome in Thorin Christendotta. Good morning, Thorin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. All right. So the two stories I want to talk about today, I tie them together because one's about basically UFOs and the other one's about pot sales and marijuana sales. Now, I have been aware of the sighting that took place in the Berkshires. I'm also aware of the person that put up his own landmark there and was taken down and everything like that. But I didn't know the whole story about everything until I read the story in your magazine entitled An Off-World Incident in the Berkshires.
Tom Reed is a very interesting fellow and had a great story to tell, and Griffin had a fantastic time meeting with him and hearing about this story. But there's actually I think it's on Netflix, there's a show, a series about UFOs, and one of them, the first one, starts with this incident. And right after Griffin interviewed him, Tom was actually on, I think it was a Fox News, talking about this, because I think it's the CIA rather than the FBI is releasing information soon about UFO sightings. So it's a lot of ding 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 that's happening right now with UFOs. But this was back in 1969, and it wasn't just Tom and his family who were in a car who were abducted and moved from where they were driving and came to somewhere else. But it was a couple other people who experienced it. And it was right up in Sheffield's Great Barrington area.
Now, is this the one I take? Is that by the covered bridge that this is the incident, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of some consternation on the part of some people. But there's some great pictures there about a little monument that was put there. But it's a great story. If you believe in UFOs. Now, the great thing about UFOs is you don't have to believe in aliens. They're unidentified flying objects. And so you can't poo-poo the idea. And if you can't poo-poo the idea that there's certain objects that are flying around that there's just no explanation for, I just think that this story opens up and gives you information that you haven't heard over the years. Like I said, I've been very familiar with this story. But the details that come out in this interview really complete the picture. And I think it's great because people talk about that UFO incident all the time, even though it happened so long ago.
Well, when you have a handful of people who aren't related or, even that close to each other, and their stories are similar, it's kind of hard to dispute. And I thought the leading picture of the person standing in the corn was, this corn is much higher than any other corn, and this is the corn that grows every year at the one of the abduction sites, that there's something there in the ground that happened. So all these little things are, it's quite interesting, and as you say, it makes you go, hmm.
It makes you go home, and it's one of those local novelty stories, and like with most UFO sightings, there are the people that pan it and think it's foolish, and then there are the people like me who don't necessarily believe that there's aliens, but I do believe that there's UFOs. People see them all the time, and I do believe, I actually believe this story, just like I believe another story that happened that's been made into a motion picture. So anyways, if you folks have heard about this, you can find it in the magazine and online. But my next story, and I love the headline. I don't know who came up with the headline. Blist in the Berkshires.
That's Dominique. So Dominique went to the Berkshires and was checking out some of the fairly newer businesses there and was checking out their products and offerings. And her first stop was the Pass. And she takes us on her personal journey of, she was one of the owners and founders of Hudson Channel Winery. So she's a vintner. Yeah. And so I love the approach that she took to this, which is the same as when you go to, you know, a winery or wine stores. You want to take samplings and try the different flavors and learn about the products and how they came about. So she kind of took the same approach to some of the, I don't know if it's correct to say pop products, but, you know, that. So she had some drinks, she had some chocolates, and so she went to all the different spots and educated herself about the products and, you know, the different effects they have and tastes and stuff, and then went home with a friend and tried some of them.
It's interesting because years ago when I lived in Glenford, New York, and I worked at WKOY in Kingston, New York, I had a bunch of roommates. We rented a house that we called the Home. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we did smoke pot back then. And as a matter of fact, we took like 20 or 30 seeds and buried them all together and grew this most beautiful pot bush that finally, when it got higher than the house, so people could see it from the main road, we had to cut it down. But the difference between marijuana back then and now is staggering. It's staggering to this old timer. It's staggering. It's so much more potent now, and so much it's so much different than it was back then. This story, once again, I think is a fun story, but a good story, because you know, you look at all the marijuana shops that are going to be basically from Sheffield right on up the line, and Sheffield just passed a law. I think this is great, limiting the number of cannabis growers to five. Well, they already have six in town, so they've limited it to five growers. But it's a story that impacts the area, and with Connecticut now and New York coming online, New York this year, and Connecticut, I think, legalized marijuana will be next year, not this coming year. It's a fun story to look at and to see how it affects people. I think it's a job well done there. And we'll give you a little credit, too, for your little article that you've got, stand out, how and why your business should try to stand out in whatever way it could.
Yeah, well, you know, every so often I feel so inclined to write a little one-piecer about, you know, design, marketing, et cetera. So this month we just dove into a little bit about how you can do that for your business and why you should have your business stand out from the rest and how to differentiate it. You know, especially around here in certain sectors, you know, the marketplace is swamped. And so, you know, there are a lot of ways that you can and do things for your business to make it, you know, stand out, you know, but to, you know, just to kind of define how you want your business to be and viewed and approached by customers or how you'd like to approach them.
Well, you know, it's true. And it's interesting as a, you know, someone who has always worked in radio, which the radio station is no longer just a radio station. Radio
right.
station is a streaming station. A radio station is a social media station. The radio station is a lot of different things. And I think what you've done with Main Street Magazine is the same way. You become interwoven in the fabric of the local community, like radio and also, by the way, I'll say magazines and newspapers used to be. And you rely really on what's great about what you do. I think what we do here is we have community members that actually participate and create the programming, and you have community members that go out there and do the writing and find the stories. And that's one of the differences of our area that you don't find in a lot of other areas, where there's plenty of talented people willing to lend their service to either your magazine or our radio station.
This is true, and your business and mine are very similar in that way, and also you and I face the same challenge in that technology is ever-changing, and just culturally things ever-change, and so, as you said, you know, it's not just a radio station, it's not just a magazine, but we have to always, you know, keep on our toes and continue to stay, you know, up there with whatever the changes are. But I also find that our area is unique, and this doesn't just impact you or me, but I feel like it impacts most of the businesses around here, that the community that we are in plays a major factor, and we have to understand that community and how and why our business is affected by it and how our business should play a part in that community.
Well, you'll find out about this and more, Main Street Magazine. Of course, pick up copies throughout the Tri-State region, mainstreetmag.com on the web. And I know you must be getting set to send your your July issue off for printing sooner or later.
Sooner or later is right. ever since COVID hit, I'm kind of always about a week behind. So it's the ever going game of catch up. But we're working on July right now. Our ad deadline is at the end of this week, and I hope to send files next Monday or Tuesday. So we got about a week left, but it's our biggest issue of the year, and I mean that, you know, in size, because the July issue is our food and drink issue, and so it's a one that folks are always so excited about. So you know, there's still a little time for advertising and the content. Where I'm almost done with it, so we're excited to get that one off to the presses. I get a little whoof afterwards.
All right, once again, Main Street Magazine, Thorin. Thanks a lot. We'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds terrific.
Take care. Thorin Christendotter this morning from Main Street Magazine. Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. And you'll find them, of course, on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and at various pickup locations for the free copy of the magazine throughout the tri-state region.